Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And today we are talking about Big O Part 2, or Season 2, depending on your particular viewpoint of it. But before that, we were talking about electric bikes, the Rad Runner 2. We were talking about some really insanely expensive but yet beautiful vehicles that I will never be able to afford in my wildest dreams.
Yeah, serious.
As well as some interesting coincidences on the pre-show. If you want to catch a part of that wonder conversation, patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast, $1 a month will get you that bonus content and more. Now, on to the meat and potatoes. Big O Part 2 came out from January 2003 to March 2003. It produces for Bandai Visual, Studio 4 to Sunrise, just like in the first part of it. Genres are action, mystery, sci-fi, mecha, psychological. It is an original, and it is 13 episodes. So you and I both, we were hoping for a different opening in Part 2, right?
We got it.
No, I mean, like, the opening scene, the opening...
Oh, yeah.
Music, right?
Yep.
That never happened, and at least on the ones that I saw. And the reason why is because I saw all the remastered versions. So the ones that we saw, Part 1, Part 2, where the beginning was completely different, mm-hmm. is because those are remastered.
Oh, those are the originals?
No, those are the remastered. Oh, the original is the one that you and I remember. So in 2007... Gosh, yeah. They did a re-release where it was like season one and two together. And mm-hmm. the opening that we were watching, that is the opening that they replaced it with.
Hmm. Interesting. Which, big O. Yeah, what's a good theme song? Let's try to source this. See what comes back. Oh, just the title over and over and over again. That seems okay. We'll go with that.
Right.
They don't make them like they used to. That's for damn sure.
Right.
I actually got into a conversation. I know it's a small sidetrack, I know, but give me one second. Have you heard the entire Pokemon song opener?
Yes.
That thing kicks. I didn't realize that it was so good, but like, the whole song itself, amazing. I loved it. It was one of the ones that I played very recently for my fiance, and we ended up jamming out to that and trying to find others that were just as good.
So,
for no reason. You shouldn't have that good of a song as an opener for a cartoon.
Yeah, you should. I mean, like, it's what helps set the mood for it. And depending on the opening, it can either make or break it.
Yeah, okay. It definitely made it for me. Like, I saw it. I listened to it. It encouraged me to start watching it again. It was that good.
Right. So, here's my thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the show. If you are going to redo a song, redo an opening, like what they did for Big O, make it better. Don't make it worse.
Right? Yeah.
And
if you don't like something, don't break it down. Build it up.
Right. I mean, like, and granted, for them, they may have done just that. They probably said, you know, this is, you know, what we want. This is the, you know, we really dig this song. We really dig this opening. And mm-hmm. I didn't dig it. I hated it. I thought it was trash. But that's me.
No, it's not just you. It should be just you, but it's not.
So Big O Part 2, it really honestly just continues off where we were left off on Part 1, which is Roger Smith coming back but him being attacked by the robot and being saved by Big O and mm-hmm. Dorothy, and it also at the same time sets it up like, oh, this is, he's going through his own like process, like, oh, am I really here? Am I in a story? Am I in a, like, what's going on? What's happening? type thing. It's and it,
yeah,
the flow,
it read like a really bad acid trip.
Right. The what I didn't like is the it was so jarring from season one to season two, part one to part two, in the flow, the dynamics, and everything like that. It was so jarring. It did not feel like it was natural. It felt like
no.
It felt like they were told, hey, you know, we'll go ahead, we'll let you come back, do another 13 episodes just so you can close it out, but you got to close all those doors that you're opening. And so they just frantically started, you know, doing whatever they could to start creating new plot lines and closing them out, and then trying to create this, you know, buzz around everything, you know, and they kept referencing to those, you remember those kids, the egghead kids?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they kept referencing and showing them and everything like that. And they kept showing those egghead kids like he was a part of them, and he wasn't.
He wasn't. I thought he was the tall kid, mysterious kid that they never showed the face of.
No, they showed the face of the kid.
The tall dude? The tall one that was always shadowed?
Yeah, they showed him.
Oh, okay.
That was Alex Rosewater.
I must have missed that.
Yeah, like straight up, that was him. And
he was the tall egg-headed kid.
Yeah. He
okay. I'll trust you on that.
Roger wasn't, because if you remember, when they're in the basement or wherever the hell they are,
mm-hmm.
You see the picture that's kind of torn in two.
Yep.
And Roger's standing there with the dad or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Shaking his hands when his dad was still really young, when all this was still going on, like to, so you're kind of like at the very beginning, you're given all these questions and you're not given any answers, because you have, you know, old dude with the book who wrote his name on it, Gordon Rosewater, saying one thing, and you're being told another thing. And then you're also being shown kind of like a play. It's like, oh, Roger Smith is actually here, and so the building he's in is a bank, and you're shown life before the whole events that had transpired, and you're kind of given information on that, but is he like actually just really homeless and doesn't understand what the hell's going on, and is he just like off his rocker, or are we in like this parallel world type thing, right? And he's just trying to figure out what's out going out, or was he just like injected with some hallucinogen and just doesn't understand what's going on or what's happening?
I don't know, man. Like, if season one was crap, I had the name on the tip of my tongue, something noir.
El Noir?
What was it?
El Noir?
Maybe. It's a genre of something like that. Whereas noir was a type of story style.
Mm-hmm.
The first part was basically Batman suave. And cool, calm, collected.
Well,
you fairly still, straightforward story.
You still second had season, this. You still had that for this, but what they did was they decided to go the Buffy the Vampire that. Vampire yeah, route well, for it with it.
The second half of the story was very muddled and very convoluted. They still had the suave, I am the negotiator, that all that stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it didn't. They tried to fit 24 episodes into six. And I know that it's a 12 episode series, 13 episode thing right there. But just bear with me, because only six episodes follow his story, super condensed. Everything else was a subplot that we really didn't care about.
Well, that, or they introduced characters or
one-off characters that didn't really need to push the story.
Right. Just in general, like they started focusing more on Alex Rosewater. They focused on Dorothy a little bit more too, you know, so it's not that you aren't really given an answer. It's that you're just not told.
Well, and then they do a really good job of shifting the opinion of who's actually the bad guy. And then when they shift it to Alex Rosewater, they end up humanizing him enough to where you're like, yes, I can understand why he's doing that. And then they shift it to just as soon as you reach that point, they're like, just kidding. He's a piece of shit. And right. You're like,
well, no,
why would that. You take all that time to give me this opinion only to 2 seconds after it's achieved, just dash it. It's a waste of time.
Then you had someone that's kind of like a Stripes. He's called Alan or something like that or whatever. And he's, you know, he's kind of part of the sect called the Union. And at the same time, he's not. He's part android, part not. He laughs kind of like the Joker. So it's like kind of like the Joker. But at the same time, he's also kind of like the Riddler or someone else. So he like kind of took up the mantle for the Joker type thing. Feeling is what I got for it.
I just saw him as a bloodthirsty person given an opportunity to kill with someone else.
Right. And then, you know, you still have the Scarecrow. Okay. Scarecrow telling, showing up still occasionally. But then he died, but he wasn't dead. He kept showing up, but he was dead type thing.
Yeah, and they're like, he died a while ago, but guess what? His essence came back and like the soul lives on. And then they immediately go back to, you know, only certain things have souls. And then they go, well, souls don't really exist because now androids could have them. So what is a soul? And you're like, and then Big O has a soul. Big O has desire. Big O has certain things that he wants to go with. And then you find out that, I don't know if you find out or maybe I just assumed it, but the big O's and the big mechs are essentially parasitic creatures.
Well,
they have their own idea.
They can be parasitic creatures.
They'll suck you dry. All your life energy.
It can be. Whoa. We're never given definites. Like we just know what happens to dude, whatever his name is, Alan or something or another.
Yeah. Right. When they're not compatible, they literally drain you of all life essence.
Right.
But and even Roger, he was like, Big O, if you do this, you and I will become one. You and I, we will cease being two separate entities.
He doesn't say that. He goes, do you really want to do that? Do you want us to become having a discussion with the robot? Because he's getting beaten to a pulp by Alex, who is becoming
one.
Yeah. Becoming.
I mean, I get that. I mean, maybe it's a power up of sorts, but it was a movie I watched once, and it reminded me of a scene in there where the movie took place in a jail, and this guy put a cross on the electric chair, and I guess that made the whole prison haunted. Like I was trying to escape through the wires, and the wires just literally did what's on screen, just went into his body and started killing him, and sucking him dry like that. And this is what I was that's what I was thinking here, and then. When that happened, when those needles essentially got poked into the back, I realized they kind of flashed Angel on there, but it made me think she was originally a pilot.
Yeah.
She was a survivor that happened, a mech.
Same thing with Roger, you know, like.
But he never had the scars on his back.
Right. But that doesn't mean anything because they showed like an entire armada fleet full of people with him too. So it doesn't like you're never given answers. The only thing you're ever shown, the only thing you're ever told about is like how he's, you know, the negotiator. He's been around, he had an original contract, and then you have Angel who's like rolling in with a white version of Big O rolling in at the end, just kind of confusing everything else. And then, and it just like
made everything seem like it's a hologram.
Yeah. And
that would make perfect sense. And like, here's the thing that gets me.
It's not that everything's a hologram. It's everything's a stage play. Like this whole thing is just for show. Like none of this is actually happening.
Explain to me why they would take the effort to come in and show a large mech repairing everything. The issue I had with the first season was that how are they building these things back up after Big O destroys them? And boom, the second season, you got this mech that was repairing all the buildings, that was building them back up very quickly. Now, boom. Okay, cool. That answers my question there, which is what you said before. They answered a bunch of questions and then just started running down a hallway, opening and closing the same door. Kind of like, oh, there's a story here. Let's just show you what it looks like and then close the door to finish it, not really giving it much substance.
Well, it's not. You also have to keep in mind that it's been 2 years since they've started writing season one and season two, and they were probably given a very short time frame because also at the same time, you have to remember that our major in between season one, season two, he got a promotion to colonel. Like there was this battle going on, and while the battle was going on in between season one, season two, someone came out. They're like, "Hey, Major, you're now a colonel. Everyone's going to know you as colonel. There's not going to be any confusion as to it or reference to you getting this magical promotion," and then move on with their lives. And that's exactly what happened. And it's the same thing for a lot of other stuff is like, okay, they kept showing that for season two, they kept showing the old man like repairing Big O by himself. Right.
And then
you all of a sudden you're shown an entire group of people that just start like secret handshakes, secret high fives, secret hellos, all this other stuff, raising their hands like, "Hey, how you doing? Let's all get together," type of stuff, getting together and being buddies and friends and everything else, and showing up and they're helping repair Big O.
The only thing I can think of is there's maybe an episode we're missing where people, where life goes on. You know what I mean? Like there's a lull. It's obviously not all action packed, but maybe there was like a month in between episode whatever and whatever, where they do recruit experts out of nowhere and train them out of nowhere. And no one in season one, everyone's like, "Who's piloting Big O? It's a mystery. It's a conundrum." In season two, they're like, "Oh, hey, Roger, what's up? Nice mech."
Well, it's not even just that in season one. What they did in season one, they kind of blended it. They knew it was him, but they didn't know it was him. They kind of felt like it was him, but they kind of felt like it wasn't him. And then season two, they just like threw that caution to the wind. They're like, "Everyone knows it's him. Everyone knows who it is." And apparently it's no longer just like him that can call it. And he just has one special watch. Had a ton of watches, and if anyone gets their hand on one of the watches, it doesn't really matter, or this, that. And there was just, I don't know, man. I mean, I feel like we were done a disservice with the second part.
100%.
Because you no longer had the Big O. You no longer had that. And then they kept calling him the what was it? Damascus, Dominican, something like Dominican, Dergula, something like that, or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, "Oh, I could be this guy too," and blah, 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 blah. And I don't know. It's like they kept having inconsistencies. For example, here's another one. Remember when you had those like spider claw things, whatever, rolling along the building? Then all of a sudden they're climbing up the side of the building, right?
Spider or scorpion?
Scorpion.
Okay.
Thing. Robot tank thing.
Yeah.
And then after they capture said target, right? They just straight up fly away. Hold up. You rolled through the streets. You used winches and things like that to climb up the side of a building.
Uh-huh.
You were crawling all the way through this building. You grabbed Dorothy, grabbed your target.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just decide, yeah, this is a great time to fly away. And that's what you do. That's your goal in life. Like you could have like swarmed the building from top, landed there, not have to climb up the side of the building, go in there, grab what you wanted and get out before anyone was any wiser.
That wouldn't make a good story. To be fair, second season wasn't a good story. But
to be fair, the whole thing wasn't a good story, but that's
here's where I might be able to save it using logic.
Right? Oh, by all means, please impart on to me.
They were conserving fuel. They didn't know how long it would take to get to the target.
Oh.
And once they got the target, they're like, "Okay, cool. Hit the extraction zone ASAP, Rocky, as fast as possible." What's the fastest way? Thrusters. All right, cool. Got the target. Go, go, go.
Whereas there's no people in there. It's all robots. I don't think it really matters. You could it doesn't matter at that.
They might not be running off batteries. They might be running off a gas tank. Might be like, "All right, cool. We've got a full gas tank. This is good for at least 3 hours. We don't know how long it's going to take. Everyone go. Quick, retreat, retreat. Get out of there. Eject, eject."
Okay. If there's no people in there, I mean, like, eject, retreat, and all that doesn't matter. Because it doesn't matter. And they had sheer numbers So I don't think time frame was a matter, was of the essence or even mattered to them.
I'm trying to figure a way to justify why they didn't fly in and fly out. Maybe they had to be more meticulous. No, because if you're going up and over a building, you could have just blown up the building. Yeah, the only way to make it make sense is if they were trying to conserve fuel.
Yeah, but it takes a lot of fuel to pull your heavy ass up using a winch still. It doesn't matter.
Not really. It's more, if your engine's already running, it's part of the torque you're going to use to move forward, right?
No, because you're no longer just moving forward. You're moving straight up, vertically.
I was just thinking because, like a PTO, like similar to my bucket truck. I figured that you turn the PTO on, it's just, it's using the engine, you're using the torque.
Right, but it uses
the same amount just to pull yourself forward.
No.
But how are you going to get a winch and fire it forward? I'm trying to apply logic when there doesn't need to be logic. My only thought is they were trying to conserve fuel. That's the only thing that makes sense, but it makes no sense for all the other gadgets at all.
Right. So it doesn't matter, man. I mean, train wreck of a show, dude. This was a train wreck of a show is what it was. Like,
they should have extended. See, here's the thing. I know what I'm saying, but when it leaves my mouth, I don't mean it. I'm going to say it anyway. But just know, I don't want this. They should have made it 26 episodes for the second season, simply because they would have been able to keep the story style as before and flesh things out a little bit better.
You could have done this with a 50-episode season, too, and I don't think it would have been matter. I don't think it would have mattered one
bit. Really?
I do not. They went the Truman Show route.
Yeah, I still don't understand that. Like, right. Is it a play? Is it?
It's like they went from one, like the world was trash and there's actually other people there and there's this big secret or whatever, and to an entire thing. And then it's like, wait a minute. All of a sudden, like towards the end, like all this other stuff starts appearing. All this other stuff just starts randomly coming out. Like no problem. Like, oh, I'm going to do this one thing. And all of a sudden, oh, the clouds are finally clearing and I can see all this up there. Well, who? And it doesn't make sense because in season one, right? If it's supposed to be enclosed, if they're enclosed, right? In season one, where the hell did that satellite come from?
Well, so the satellite, I figured this one out. The satellite landed outside the city, outside the dome.
Which one?
The one he was at?
The one that everyone was in? That the entire city was in?
No, it's the outside of that.
Outside of that dome? That no one ever actually went outside because they didn't know that there was an outside to that one that they were in?
Yes, that one.
Okay. So it went out, came from outside of that, crashed through that.
Nope, it never entered.
Okay. So what you're saying is it just spontaneously transpose from outside to inside while maintaining speed. Okay, so
So season one, people were like, there's nobody outside. Season two, they forgot about that and were like, yeah, the ruffians are outside.
No. What are you talking about?
In season two, there was inside the dome where everyone had a bunch of money, and outside the dome where the slums were at.
That was season one as well. That's both season one and two. I'm saying the dome that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
Not talking about the one where they're money. I'm talking about the dome where their domes are.
I guess what I was trying to say was in the beginning, it was implied or even said that there was no life outside of the domes, right?
No, that there was no life outside the cities.
Cities, yeah. And maybe it was my assumption that did it then, because I assumed inside the cities was where the dome was. And then outside the city, there was no dome.
No,
they like exiled people and whatnot. But no, I mean, it makes sense if that's part of the dome as well.
Yeah, but then no it doesn't one knew make any sense about why, those, right? It was all like a project or something like that, or whatever.
Maybe there's a time skip, or like I said before, perhaps the writers forgot.
I feel like they were just like haphazardly and quickly trying to rectify it because they wrote one story and they're like, well, this is kind of trash, you know, because you have the domes, you have the normal domes, they're being constructed or worked on and everything like that. It's just like in season one, you know, outside the domes, you have the trash cities and everything like that, and everything everything else going along with it. Right.
Yep.
But then at the end, like, you have the domes that are apparently in this one giant dome that goes up beyond the clouds.
Then maybe it broke through that prior to...
That's what I was saying. Like, it broke through, and how did it break through without destroying all those giant spotlights that are up there and through the scaffolding all the way through?
I mean, it was a perfect trajectory, and it threaded the needle.
Okay.
So maybe, when they got that android, that old android's memories, in that those memories, they had the trajectory or the assumed path, and they're like, okay, let's just shift the ceiling, open a hole here to let that through to avoid damage.
You know what? Maybe I'm remembering it wrong, right? Maybe the satellites was in season two, and the two are just total trash, and it just melds in my mind. Maybe.
Well, season two, the satellites were called angels. Like, they thought they were angels falling from heaven.
Yeah.
And in the piece of the angel that was recovered said hope on it, and it turned out to be satellites. So it was season two.
Okay. So yeah. Okay. Well, it's still trash no matter what. I mean, like, so they it makes it even worse, right? It makes it even worse that they contradicted themselves in the same season.
I mean,
it just makes it that much worse. Cause I was like, there's no way. Like, I watched it, and it's like, I took my time watching it, so I spread it out over quite a few days.
I didn't. I binged that so hard,
and
like, I watched as much as I could off of High Dive, and then I went to 13 episodes.
Well, yeah, no, I binged season one, but I'm saying for season two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I spread that out, and so that just means that they, because in my mind, I'm like, there's no way that they would contradict themselves in the same season, right? There's no way.
Oh, yeah.
But. They did multiple times, constantly doing that several times throughout the series. It just, it was like one contradiction versus another with another, with another, with another, and another. And then it's like, all right, you have the Megaduce, and people are like, oh, well, you know, we'll figure out how to do this and memories and everything like that. And they try to make the memories this far bigger thing than what it actually is. And you have like entire discussions and things like that revolving around memories and the outside world and everything having to do with it.
And the foreigners
and all they did was just make it worse.
They made it harder to understand.
Like, they introduced characters. They made it
extremely hard to understand.
They introduced characters that kind of bear weight, but then at the same time, 2 seconds later, bear no weight. Have no substance to them. And then they take a character that was supposed to be pretty magnificent or substantial in season one.
And lost all value in season two.
Yeah, like with like next to
like no. They didn't have the storyboard. They didn't have like it's like they lost the plot, and then a fan was like, hey, I watched this before, I want you to do it again. Well, okay, let's watch the first season. No, you don't have to worry, you don't have to watch, I'll tell you about it. And then they got the plot for the second season, and they're like, okay. And then they forgot a bunch of shit and added more crap. And then they're like, all right, we want to button this up because this is going to be a closed season. The good news is they gave it an ending. The bad news is it was a shit ending. So, like, I understand very little about the inner workings of how this even came to be. I can appreciate the artwork.
I can appreciate. I mean,
the inconsistencies are impressive. Like, you have to work that. You have to work real hard to mess that up to that degree. But
I mean, look, they reference three. They're like, oh, the big three. You only ever see three, and everything like that for the robots. And another inconsistency is you're introduced to another robot with the number 17 on it, and. Does that mean
you mean there's the one that can turn shit to sand?
Yeah, that is
just by touching it.
Yeah,
the whole building.
Yeah, that one. Right. Yeah,
like, that's it'll like, scratch something, and all of a sudden, like an infection, this it'll spread and dissolve.
Yeah, that's everything. What I'm talking about. Now let me finish my thought.
Right, go ahead.
Which leads me to believe that there are at least
17.
No, 13 more. Oh, and yeah. Assuming that they decided to make it around 20, right? So 16 mm-hmm. more different robots that are out there, each one of them serving a different purpose. Because at least the Big O's, each one, oh, sorry, hang on, 15 more. 15 more robots,
right?
Because each one serves a purpose, right? Or is specialized in something.
Okay.
So Big O, his specialty is hand-to-hand combat is what I'm getting. And then you had the one from season one, where the Scarecrow did it, which was a plane flying.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had the other one that, that was going on with, what's his face, with Alex Rosewater, and his was mm-hmm. all about swimming. Like how his was used was how it was used and how the look and design is says submarine to me.
Yeah.
Like 100%. That's what it says to me.
I agree with that.
So you have the dragon, which is like a sand, turns things to sand and swims through the mm-hmm. sand. So does that mean, you know, and then obviously it had 17 on it, on its body, but does that mean that we were like kind of shortchanged?
I feel like the only thing that makes sense up to and including the very end, the acid trip of a memory, the mental breakdowns, the inconsistencies in abilities, it's all a video game. And Angel is the moderator, which is why when she came through the plane and started mobbing through everything and deleting everything, clearing everything out, like, okay, this game has turned to crap. The AI system's bugging out. Wipe it out. Start over. That kind of thing. When she activated her moderator status, it makes sense because you don't, there's no such ability that I can think of that would explain how you can convert glass back to sand, concrete back to sand, iron bars into sand, and then it spreads like a virus and consumes only what you want and not the ground. Or well,
hang on,
it consumes the ground. Good.
That was only for the robot labeled 17, and that was only correct. There yes. for a thing. What happened yeah. wasn't back to sand and wasn't being wiped out like that. What it was everything just was slowly vanishing into nothingness. And then you had something like out of Star Trek, a holodeck just appear wherever they were. And
mm-hmm. well, that's what I'm seeing.
And then at the very end, you still had Dorothy and Roger go into this mm-hmm. one random room. And instead mm-hmm. of the book saying, mm-hmm. You know, Alex Rosewater or whatever, right? You had the book and it actually said Angel Rosewater or whatever on there.
Mm-hmm. Indicating she's the daughter. She was the true daughter. Whereas Alex Rosewater was the clone or the surrogate son.
Right. So thank also you made for, you think, I mean, like, honestly, I want to real quick. And at the beginning, you were so dead set against him not being one of the children, eggheads.
I was, because it made, you couldn't tell me until our conversation here to explain how that leap would have made sense, how that train of thought would make sense, and then bringing it up like it. Now, I didn't, when they showed the book, I didn't realize that the name changed. I just saw an A. Rosewater. So I was like, oh, okay.
Yep.
Kind of weird they've got that there.
Angel Rosewater.
Then I changed from Alex to Angel.
Yep.
So, I mean, that makes sense, but that would also indicate that a lot of people, contrary to popular belief, remember what happened 40 years ago and are choosing not to remember it.
Yeah, but at the same time, you had like, oh, dude, sit there and tell you, like, oh, I, no one remembers anything from 40 years ago or anything like that. It's like,
mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, there's conflicts within the conflicts or more conflicts.
Yeah, they should have somebody down and proof all this stuff. And be like, all right, this doesn't make sense. This doesn't make sense. This doesn't make sense. This is a cool concept. We can keep this. That doesn't make sense. This contradicts the other thing we're trying to make sense over here for. So get rid of that. Like they should have. It would have been nice to have more consistency. There is so much potential. Batman is an amazing character to write with because he's so versatile. Roger Smith, very similarly equipped. Prep time is an amazing thing. And Big O is literally a deus ex machina. Literally anything you're going to need, this robot's going to do. for no other reason than because. Literally no other reason than because. Like, at the very end, he ends up creating this mega gun that's a one-off that he didn't know about before, but all of a sudden could call out the weapon name.
Well, it's because he finally remembered his owner's manual, you know.
Are you joking right now? Are you serious?
That's the only explanation that I can come up with.
Okay, thank God, because I'm like, did I miss something big?
Yeah, he remembered the owner's manual. Like, bro, don't you? It was there in like episode 5, right? Of season 3. Like,
you're fucking with me. Okay.
Like when the homeboy comes in.
I'm over here like.
When the guys come in, they start repairing Big O for him because he contracts that shit out. He put out a Craigslist ad or something like that for it. And they come in, they're doing all the repairs and everything like that. Like, homeboy's like, oh yeah, I totally remember this, while he's flipping through the owner's manual. He's like, that's right, I could totally do this one thing and just demolish this entire area like it's nothing and still have really bad aim and miss my primary target.
Yeah.
You know?
To the left. My aim is just slightly off to the left.
Well, in his case, it was slightly off
to the right.
To the right.
Well, I mean, I was going off of the target's perspective.
True.
Oh, but I mean, yeah. Like, the only thing I can think of that would make this whole thing make any kind of sense is Angel's the moderator. She remembered she was the moderator, wiped everything out, and at the very end, like, came to an understanding with Roger, combined, and then made their world back to what they wanted it to be.
Which was a total trash heap and desolate world?
Hey. Abuse victims go back to those who abuse. Oh. That's the only thing I can think of.
Okay.
If I want trash anime, I'm going to go see trash anime. It's going to keep drawing me back because I want to understand.
While you try to figure out
what I got Stockholmed.
You go ahead. I'll let you live in that world, man. I'll let you stay there. All right. So I think this is a great spot for a rating, sir. On a scale up to 10. How would you rate this?
Well, my Stockholm says 10. That said, given what we've got here, do you remember what I rated the first season?
Yeah, you gave it like an 8.
Yeah, this is going to be like a 5, 4, 4. This is a 4, and I'm being generous, I think, with a 4.
Okay. All right. That's fair enough. I mean, like, would you like to elaborate on why you're giving it a 4?
Sure. I'm giving it a 4 because the story was so convoluted, it hurt. Animation style was still pretty good. I liked the differences in abilities. And I was a fan of all the other abilities that the Big O started to have. I thought it was kind of crap. It was good to watch, but it was a crap storyline that someone decided to combine everything and then rip out his maid's brain, essentially, to be the control switch. And then after ripping out the brain to such an extent that it's irreversible. Mind you, they did say that, oh, whoever did this ripped everything out. We can't repair it. And she came right back.
Oh, yeah.
Roger's
hey, sir, you need to remember something. Like, they explored about the possible relationship of love between Dorothy and Roger, and her love for Roger brought her back because he loves her too.
That opens up a whole other can I don't want to get into. Because it's just, it doesn't help. It makes the score worse. It does not help to fall back on a trope like that.
So I remember I gave the last one a 4, and you were telling me like, hey, by the time, Jack, we finish watching season 2, you're going to give it a 9. And you know what I didn't do? I'm not going to give it a 9. I'm going to give it a 2.
You're not going to give it a 4 either.
No, I'm giving it a 2.
We both halved our scores.
Yeah.
I went from 8 to 4. You went from 4 to 2.
Right. I can't go with 1 because
one is reserved.
I mean,
one's like, reserved.
One is reserved for some kind of special. That's what one is. I mean, like, at least this one, you can watch it and just go, yeah, this is trash, but at least it's enjoyable.
I mean, we can have a discussion about it even. Like,
yeah,
ones and zeros are stuff that, granted, we'll try, but we won't be able to do anything. So, yeah, I can agree with your thought process on that. I still can't quite give it a 2 because in my brain, 2 is, if I took Sin, the movie, seriously, it'd be a 2.
And Sin was awesome, man. I loved Sin.
But it's awesome because we look at it as a joke.
It is such a great joke, dude. All right.
We look at it through satirical eyes.
That's beside the point. That is beside the point. All right. So you're going with a 4. I'm going with a 2. Next week, we are going to
in part 2. No,
no, we're going to watch Bubble, a movie for the Bublé. For the next choice. It's something I haven't seen. I went to the random site. I hit movie and this is what it came back with. Right. So that's what we're going with. Beyond that, I don't know nothing about it. I know it's on Netflix because I wanted to make sure we could watch it.
We could actually see it.
Wanted to make sure we could watch it.
Go to a sketchy website.
Right. Well, I mean, like all our websites are pretty sketched out, but you could say. So we're watching Bubble next. That's honestly all I got for today, sir. How about you? You got anything else you want to add before we wrap it up?
No.
Well, thanks for joining. Thanks for hanging out with us. If you feel like we got something right, something wrong, did it justice, did it too much justice, didn't do it enough justice, any point in between, feel free to reach out to us at featuredanimepodcast@gmail.com, at Those Anime Guys on Twitter, Featured Anime Podcast on Facebook. Feel free to join our Discord, talk to us, hang out. We're always in there, or at least I'm always in there. We're in there chatting and goofing around and everything like that. Link for that's going to be in the show notes for you. And if you want to buy the anime that we were talking about, you want to buy Big O, I do have some affiliate links in the show notes for you. Feel free to click on it. If you do buy the anime, we do get a little bit of a kickback for it, and it is very much appreciated. However, if you choose to buy some of our own merch, store.featuredanimepodcast.com, you can get yourself some swanky swag there. Or if you want to support us through our Patreon and help us grow like that, patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast, and you can help us grow. You'll get access to the pre and post show, as well as our bonus exclusive shows that we do. We just recorded Quasar No Stigma, and it's some kind of special. And if you want to hear what that show is actually about, hear our discussions and thoughts on it, patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. And until next time, I'm Jack.
I'm Rick. We'll see you next time.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.